You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 3rd of April, 2024. The Australian share market fell today by 1.3%, so a pretty significant tumble. We'll have the details with June Bailu from Tribeca Investment Partners. But first to property, where analysts at SQM Research say there were more than 5,300 distressed listings in March. That's up 0.7% on the previous month. But the important thing to note is that it's still well down on pre-COVID times. It comes as total listings climbed in March to healthier levels. For more details, John Baldock spoke with Louis Christopher, the founder of SQM Research.
First off, what are the listing levels like at the moment? And what does that say about the state of the housing market currently?
Well, listing levels have actually become increasingly healthy. So there's actually more listings on the market across the nation compared to what we had this time last year. The number's up by about 2.6%, but we've noticed in more recent months, it's been building in terms of listings activity. And in some cities, the numbers are considerably higher compared to where we were this time last year. So for example, in Sydney, listings are up by about 9% compared to this time in 2023. And in Melbourne, they're up by about the same as well, 8.7%. Whereas there are some cities which are down compared to this time last year. So, for example, Brisbane's down by 11%. Perth is down by 27%. There's hardly any stock on the market in Perth right now. And Adelaide is down by about 14%. And strangely enough, these are the three cities where we are recording the fastest housing price growth, that being Brisbane, Perth and Adelaide at this point in time.
What kind of distressed sales are we seeing at the moment, and to what extent is that a surprise?
There has been some surprises on our most recent update. So out of the 256,000 listings we've recorded nationwide, about 5,350 are selling under distressed conditions. Now, that was up slightly in March by just 0.7%. Notably, we recorded a 5.8% decline in distress activity in New South Wales after month-on-month of rises in that state. And in Victoria, we actually recorded a huge rise of 9.6% in terms of distress listings. There's currently about 1,025 properties selling under distress conditions in Victoria at this point in time. And when we look at the year-on-year number in Victoria, that's actually up by 14.8%. So there's a clear trend upwards in the state of Victoria for distress activity.
Can you just describe just what a distressed sale is? Just for people that are unaware of that, the actual meaning, what criteria falls under that subject?
A distressed listing, as we define it, includes mortgaging possessions, deceased estate sales, divorcee sales, keywords that may well have, say, forced selling. Anything that's to do with forced selling or something which suggests that the sale is selling under distressed conditions. So it could be that the property's been advertised as a bargain property, must sell now. We'll include that in a distressed listing count.
Take on the general direction of prices as a result of what we're seeing in these sales.
The general direction of prices depends on which city we're talking about. We're seeing actually overall a mixed housing market nationwide. We're seeing the strongest areas being in the city of Perth, Adelaide and Brisbane, where it appears as though housing prices are rising at an annual rate of above 10% per annum. Whereas in Sydney and in Melbourne, we're starting to record a bit of a slowdown in capital growth. And I think this is somewhat reflected in these numbers where we're seeing higher listings activities in both of those cities. And then you have other cities which they range in terms of strength. Hobart, for example, we're recording very weak growth indeed. And we believe the outlook for 2024 is that we'll record some housing price falls in Hobart of about 7%. In Canberra, the outlook's also looking fairly weak as well. We've been recording lower auction clearance rates in Canberra and lower housing price growth. So it's pretty clear overall from what we can see in these numbers and other numbers that the housing market Australia-wide is quite mixed. There's strength there, but there's also weakness there too.
What do you think the latest listings figures say about the rental market in terms of how you think that's going to affect the rental market going forward?
In the rental market, much is determined by the amount of investor activity and where investors are actually buying into the market, creating rental properties essentially by doing that or leaving the market, meaning there may well be less rental properties on offer. And what we're seeing around the country is a bit of a mix at the moment. So we believe investors are exiting the state of Victoria. We think there's less investor activity in that state, and they seem to be more investing in the cities of Perth and in Brisbane as well. Sydney is more neutral, and when we look at regional Australia, once again, we're seeing a bit of a mixed bag where we're seeing some investor interest in mining townships, but we're also seeing a withdrawal of investors in other rural townships.
That is Louis Christopher there from SQM Research.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
It wasn't a very good day for the Australian share market, which fell today. The S&P ASX 200 off 1.33% to 7,782. For more, I spoke with June Bay Liu from Tribeca Investment Partners.
The data indication is that, US economy is not cooling off as fast as people expect. So now the market is worried the interest rate cut that is expected in June or July in the US is not going to take place. So we have a bit of a sell-off. So essentially across Australian market, we down over 1.2%, more than 1.2%. It's really just a bit of a profit taking across every sector.
So, yeah, run us through who led the losses then.
Look, technology companies, technology sector is the biggest losers. They have most on average gone down between 5 and 10%. This includes some of the biggest names such as WiseTech and Xero. But look, you know, these companies have gone up at least 30% in the last couple of months. So this really just a bit of a trim for a lot of investors.
One sector that has done particularly well, again, gold, another record overnight. Why? And is this likely to be a reoccurring theme now?
Look, I do think so. At the moment, gold is being used for two reasons. One is that to hedge off if the interest rate does fall. And that's great for the gold prices because that probably means the economy is going to slow down. And then gold is where people preserve value. So gold price generally does well in that sort of environment. But also it's being used for uncertainties because at the moment, investors are not so sure whether interest rate will be cut near term or further down the track or whether any of these geopolitical risks or whether there's a US election is going to affect anything. So gold is actually a good place just to hide because it is stable and it is very defensive.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Look, I do think those sell-offs are a great opportunity for people to buy some of those good companies. I know they only just started off, but some of those AI, it is great to have positions in your data centers such as your Goodman Group that has exposure to that front, or even some of those technology leaders that has been sold off, that should really for investors to have a look because they will generate that long-term growth trajectory many other companies won't.
It's June Bay Liu there from Tribeca Investment Partners.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.